Funding for Think comes from the SMU Certificate Program in Financial Planning.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How would your life change if you could finally slim down after carrying 100 pounds or more of excess weight for decades? With proper medical supervision and care, you would likely improve your physical health, but along with your new body, you might also find yourself searching for your identity as a defining characteristic of your old life falls away. That's what my guest today explored as she followed the journey of a group of women who met and bonded through the Austin chapter of the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance and found their relationships changed in unexpected ways as some of them sought weight loss surgery for the sake of their health. Filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz directed the new Independent Lens documentary, All of Me. You can see it on TV next Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KERA Channel 13. Alexandra, welcome to Think.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about these women who call themselves the girls, how they met each other and how you met them.
So the girls have been friends for decades. They all live in the Austin area. And yes, they met some of them through NAFA, the National Association of Advanced Fat Acceptance, like you said, the local chapter there. And then NAFA, which was sort of a more active political organization back in the 70s, in some sort of branched off in some in a social way to this big beautiful women community, BBW community, which is more of a social thing. So they get together and have parties. They call them bashes. There's an annual bash every year. They're all over the country. There are big ones in Las Vegas. And so they socialized as big beautiful women. And that, of course, goes with men who like big beautiful women, who are called FAs or fat admirers. And that's how they got to know each other. And, you know, they really were a tight group of friends.
What is the fat acceptance movement exactly? What are its goals?
Well, I think, you know, the main goal is to have fat people be treated with respect. I think a lot of people think that fat is sort of the last acceptable form of discrimination. And that, you know, fat people maybe need some extra, you know, rights and protections. And, you know, I think it's morphed over time. So it's hard for me to sort of say exactly now. There's also a movement called Health at Every Size, which, again, has sort of come out of that, which basically means that, you know, you can be healthy or unhealthy in any size body, and that we should take weight loss away, that weight loss should not be the goal, health should be the goal. And I think that that's actually really smart, because I think when you start just talking about number on the scale, it can really lead to unhealthy behaviors.
So the girls have been committed to the cause of fat acceptance, but over the years, most of them had also tried lots of different ways to lose weight and hadn't succeeded in keeping it off. And it's interesting in the film because I think it speaks to a certain ambivalence, perhaps, about their bodies. It's still hard for them to cope with the bias of society, no matter how much self-esteem they might have.
Yeah, I think that's true. And then also, you know, I think for several of them, I mean, for Jalin, especially, who, and Dawn, both, who had, you know, sort of very fun social lives when they were young, and they were finally seeing, you know, found men and who thought they were attractive and flew them around the world to visit them, and, you know, sort of were finally accepted where they never had been before, in a way they never had been before. But then reality sort of sets in, especially as they got older. And for Dawn and Jalin, mobility really became the main factor. And looking around at people, you know, who eventually ended up in scooters and thinking, I do not want that to be me. And that was really the mobility, more than anything, was the main factor for looking at weight loss surgery as an option.
Let's listen here to Jalin sort of talking about how she felt about her weight as she was younger and how it's changed for her now.
Before, I didn't care. I was young, and as long as today was good, that's what my life was about. Now I'm an adult. Now I have to live the life that I have. You know, men like fat. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what kind of person you are. It's never been about me. Probably never will be about me. But it's about my daughter now.
So that is Jalin in Alexandra Lascaz's documentary, All of Me. I found that section of the film, Alexandra, so moving, because what she's referring to there, when she says it's not about me, she doesn't, at least the way I understand it, she doesn't just mean I'm not trying to get healthy for my own sake, I want to be there for my daughter. She also means she feels as if the men who have been attracted to her, including, I gather, the one she married, are most interested in the way her body looks as opposed to who she is as a person.
That's right. I know. It's hard to actually believe, but it seems to be the case. And her husband, you know, I couldn't be more unsupportive, really. And, you know, just, you know, doesn't even want her to lose weight. I mean, she got to the point where she was practically immobile. It was hard for her to stand up. She could, you know, walk from the car to the couch and would be huffing and puffing by the time she got there. And it was really heartbreaking. And she was not able to be a mother to her daughter like she wanted to be. You know, she couldn't take her to the park. She couldn't take her swimming. She couldn't do any of the things that, you know, we all do with our children. And that really is what, at the end of the day, made her have the decision to have weight loss surgery.
Well, it's a curious sort of parallel to the narrative that we're more familiar with, right? Which is where a couple gets together and they are attracted to one another because their bodies are sort of thin and stereotypically attractive. And then we frown on the idea that they would give up on each other if they gained some weight.
Yeah. And right. You mean this is sort of the opposite of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And yet I think that when that becomes apparent, I think at first you're so happy that you've found someone who finds you attractive, who wants you, who likes the way you look. And then, you know, you figure out, well, that's really not enough to sustain a relationship.
So before we get further into this story, can you tell us a little bit about how weight loss surgery works? Because I think some people might think it's like this easy solution, when in fact it's a really radical procedure.
Yeah, so that's another thing I wanted to show with the film is how complicated actually I feel like obesity is. And, you know, we're marketed all these diets and all these pills, and weight loss surgery is sort of the, you know, last resort. And people think it's a quick fix. Hey, you have the surgery, you lose the weight, you know, you're on the path to a different life. And the reality is it's actually a very long process. You're on it for the rest of your life. And, you know, your body in some cases really has changed. I mean, there's the gastric band, which is the least invasive type. And that is basically an adjustable band. It didn't used to be adjustable, but it is now. And they put it around the top of your stomach, and it basically restricts the amount of food that can go in. And the doctor can adjust it with a needle through into a little port, fill it or unfill it with saline to get the right amount of restriction. And then after that, and with the band, you lose weight more slowly. Then there's the gastric bypass, which is a more invasive procedure. It's also called the Roux-en-Y. And the surgeon actually disconnects your stomach from your intestine, bypasses the upper two-thirds of it, and reconnects your stomach to the lowest third of your intestine. And so for a while, you can no longer digest sugars and starches. There are certain foods that, you know, if you eat them, you can have what's called dumping syndrome, where you basically feel faint and awful and you never want to feel that way again. And you need to take supplements for the rest of your life. And you lose weight a lot more quickly, but there is a honeymoon period, around 18 months where, you know, you can actually start eating some of those foods again. And often you can gain the weight back. In both of these procedures. And so there's also one called the gastric sleeve, which is becoming increasingly common. But that's the point, is that, yes, you can lose this weight, but if you don't totally change your relationship to food and how you got to be 400, 500 pounds or whatever weight you are, you can gain it back again. And that's why it's so important to have support and nutritional and psychological counseling. And, you know, as we were talking about the husbands in Jalin's case and in Dawn's case, too, they did not have that support.
Well, here we hear Karen and Dawn talking about Judy's weight loss surgery, and they're actually referring to that honeymoon period. Let's listen to a clip from the film.
I knew Judy way back when. I knew Judy when none of us had had surgery. We were all fat girls. We were all single, looking for men. Now that she's had the surgery, there's a major difference in Judy. She's got new glasses. She's got a new haircut. She has a different attitude. Good for her. But don't come across as a person who has had it all together her entire life. That's a crock of bull.
Judy is definitely still in the honeymoon phase.
Welcome.
And you can see it, because when people are in the honeymoon phase, everything is wonderful. You're going down sizes, and you're getting tried new clothes on, and everything's great. But it does end.
Another clip there from the Independent Lens documentary All of Me, which airs Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KELRA Channel 13 television. We're speaking this hour with filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz. And in that scene, the women are discussing another of their friends who's had surgery, who is doing well with her weight loss. And I guess what you hear there is caution from her friends. In some ways, if you see the entire film, it seems like there might be some disappointment that this friend Judy is no longer, in their minds, one of them in the same way.
That's right. I mean, I think that was one of the unexpected consequences for all of us. I mean, the women and myself included was sort of what would happen to their girls group when they started undergoing this transformation. And I think that, you know, it's sort of like people who bond over anything, I guess. But, you know, once Judy lost all this weight and, you know, could actually go out and do other things, I mean, she planted a vegetable garden, she was able to put up shelves in her pantry, you know, she started walking 5Ks, she started kind of separating herself from the group. And I think the others felt a kind of a mix of jealousy, of we're being left behind, of, you know, thinking that they weren't doing a good job as she was, frustration. And I think that I think Judy's very aware of the way she came off now. But at the time, you're just amazed. You're feeling so good. You think you're looking so good. You know, people are saying, oh, wow, look at you all the time. And, you know, it really leads to this high that I think can put other people off.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the end of the film, she's almost unrecognizable from the place where she started.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, she has, you know, very strong-willed, and she really radically did change her relationship with food. And you see that in the film. And she did cut her hair, and she got new glasses, and she started wearing makeup, and, you know, she really does look completely different. And that was what originally, you know, sort of caught my attention about this subject, was what would it be like to live in a totally different body? Mm. You know, it affects so much about how we interact and how we exist in the world. And, you know, she really had that experience.
My guest is filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz. She directed the Independent Lens documentary All of Me, which will premiere Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KELRA Channel 13 television. If you'd like to join our conversation, we have lines open at 1-800-933-5372. You can email think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Certificate Program in Financial Planning, with classroom instruction, a CFP board-registered curriculum, and flexible class schedules. Applications accepted now for the program, which begins March 31st. SMU.edu/CPFP.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We're speaking this hour with filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz, who directed the independent lens documentary All of Me. It debuts this coming Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KERA Channel 13 television. If you've got a story to share or perhaps a question, you can call in now to 1-800-933-5372. You can send email to think@kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think. Alexandra, how do doctors try to prepare patients for the changes that this surgery will require?
Well, first, I guess I'd say that some do a better job than others. Mm-hmm. But the ones who do a good job try to get people to actually lose some weight before they have the surgery. And they sort of do that, I think, as a test to see whether their mind is really where it should be. There are some doctors that have videos that they show people that kind of talk you through what this process is going to be like. They do have you meet with a nutritionist. They do have a psychological consultation. Sometimes it's more cursory than others, but I think, like I said, in the good cases, in the good instances, they talk to you in the beginning and they keep in touch with you throughout. They have support groups that they run at their hospital. Sometimes they're just once a month. That seems to be the most typical. But, you know, they really would try to be available to connect you with the resources and support that you need.
So going into her surgery, Judy says she's really lucky to have a husband who appreciates her and loves her at any size and really loves her for her size. But she's aware that the procedure could affect their relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I think having watched her friends all go through this and then knowing that her husband is, you know, he eats a lot of fast food. He's overweight himself. He's not happy about it. You know, she realizes that it's going to be hard. She was just telling me the other day that, you know, and just to let you know, Marty actually did end up having surgery himself. Mm-hmm. So now they are on the same page. But she said, and since then, it's been great because she was able to get all the Marty food out of the house, you know, which really helped her, too. But I mean, that's one of the things that can really strain a relationship, right? When, you know, they used to go out and eat out together. He talks about that in the film, and it was something that they did together and they bonded over. And when she's on one path and he's on another, that can be really tough.
Well, it's almost like Days of Wine and Roses, right? It's hard to have one person make this radical life change and the other person not, even if they're not trying to force one another to do anything they're not ready to do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like anything. Yep.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go on the phone now to Ron in Grand Prairie. Hi, Ron.
Hey, enjoy your show as always.
Thank you.
I just wanted to maybe offer more of a comment. About a decade ago, I lost 80 pounds in 10 months through that self-discipline technique. And I've kept it off all these years and became somewhat of an athlete. And it was a transformative, positive experience for me. You know, when I was heavy, I was probably borderline morbidly obese. And it was something I thought about every day, carried with me constantly. And I lost that weight fast enough that I could, you know, it was a startling change going through several sets of clothes, having people that hadn't seen me in a year not recognize me. And I let you, you know, guys do this too. And I think my only other comment would be, I get not discriminating against fat people, or I'm talking morbidly obese. But it is a sad thing. It's clearly unhealthy. And I've never known an obese person that was happy being obese. And I've sure helped a lot of friends lose that weight, some successfully, some not. But kudos to your show, and I look forward to seeing the thing on TV.
Thanks so much
for
your
call. Much.
Do you want to comment on that at all, Alexandra?
No, I mean, I think that you know, that's a great story. I mean, he obviously can relate, and it's true. I mean, 80% of the people who have weight loss surgery are women, but it is true that men are having it too.
I was really moved by the section, you know, and you've explained some of this already, the fact that if you had the surgery, you are eating differently even than, say, a friend who had always had a healthful BMI would eat. The quantities of food are different. The kinds of food you can eat are different. And there's a section in the film here that we'll listen to where Dawn talks about how her life has changed and how in some ways she misses eating the way she used to.
One food that would really make me feel good and whole, it would be a burger. But not every day is Thanksgiving, and every day was Thanksgiving for me.
So at that point, she's working hard and trying to make this successful, but it isn't. It's not like it's so easy to change the things that you crave, even if your body is responding well to this treatment.
Right. And Dawn has a lap band, and I was, the way that works is it restricts the food that can go in, and it's different for different people. But for some people, things like burgers, bread, pasta, you know, heavy stuff just can't go down. And then people start eating, you know, and if it's too, I heard one doctor say, which made a lot of sense to me, is that, you know, sometimes people have their band too tight, thinking that they want, you know, they want to restrict more food, but then you end up eating milkshakes and yogurt and whipped cream and, you know, all these soft foods that go down really easily, but have a lot of calories, and that you can actually end up gaining weight that way. So you really, you know, it's a nuanced thing, and you really have to work with your doctor to get it just right.
And it is an expensive procedure that I suppose is sometimes covered by health insurance and in other cases not.
Yeah, and I don't really know, the why or why not, but that's right. I mean, some people's insurance do cover it. Other people, it doesn't, and then they have to take out loans. I've known people who have gone to Mexico to get the procedure done because it's cheaper. And like when we were talking about support earlier, you know, that is unfortunate in the sense that then you no longer have any relationship with your doctor's office in terms of getting that follow-up support.
Do you think the women were surprised at how their relationships changed as some of them had different bodies and some of them didn't?
I do. And I think in a way they were really sad about it. I mean, I had a screening for all of them before we showed it to anyone else in the world. And it was very poignant. I mean, you know, they all kind of came together again and we looked at the film but everyone acknowledged, you know, we're still friends. We'll always be friends, but we don't really get together the way that we used to. You know, food is no longer our glue. Mm. And some of us have, you know, sort of found other things in life that we want to do and have kind of moved on. And it's bittersweet.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Yvette in Richardson. Hi, Yvette.
Hi. This seems to be a replay of an issue that occurred years ago with support groups for people who were deaf and cochlear implants, where their peers and support groups turned against them and actually had formed new groups against cochlear implants. And it seems to be the same type of issue. I think it's more of a psychological issue across the board, perhaps from support groups.
What an interesting parallel to draw. Thanks for your call, Yvette.
Yeah, I wonder if she's talking about, there was a documentary, a great documentary about cochlear implants and what that did to the deaf community. And, I think that is a good parallel. And I think that there are probably many other parallels. I think it's, you know, when we have groups of friends, we're usually bonding over something, right? And if that ends up kind of not being there anymore, then the group is likely to splinter.
Did all of the people that you met seemed to be those who were not undergoing the surgery and not thinking about it, did they seem to be genuinely content with their weight? Did you sense that they were still ambivalent, or did they tell you that they were still ambivalent?
I mean, the ones that hadn't had surgery yet, I think especially one that I can, you know, specifically talk about, she was really okay with who she is, you know, and she exercises and she has a boyfriend, a long-term partner, and she has a good job, and this is her identity. I mean, identity, I think, was one of the most interesting things about it for me to really try to wrap my head around, because And Dawn even says that in the movie at one point about a difference between thin and fat thinking. You know, if you know yourself to be one way and you know yourself to be that way in the world, it can be scary to think about being another way. And I think, you know, I mean, a lot of people have talked about how fat can be sometimes a layer of protection, mm-hmm. And maybe from unwanted attention. And then it can be scary to think about losing that weight. And suddenly, you know, it's like you're getting all this attention and men are holding doors open for you. And maybe it's really not what you want for whatever reason. But I think that, you know, that stuff can get really complicated. I want to mention I also made a couple of short films because I really wanted to kind of get at every side of this. And one is about a fat activist and dancer named Reagan Chastain, who lives in Los Angeles. And you can find it on our website. And, you know, she is part of this Health at Every Size movement. But she is totally happy the way she is, and she is actually a professional dancer in the body that she's in. And so I think it really is important not to judge people and not to assume, that everyone is unhappy the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about Dawn's relationship with her husband? Because we really see a transformation in this throughout the course of the film. At the beginning of it, he says he's happy that she might feel healthier, but he really makes it very clear the kind of body that he's attracted to.
Yeah, so, I mean, Dawn's husband is also what we would call a fat admirer, someone who prefers, you know, larger women. And Guy had actually been married prior to Dawn for 22 years, I think, and his wife had been heavy. But then she had gone and lost a bunch of weight and found somebody else and left him. And I think when Dawn and Guy got together, you know, again, Dawn felt similarly to what I was saying about Jalen earlier, like, wow, here's this guy who really likes me and he's right here and, you know, this is great. But then he wasn't supportive of her efforts to get healthier and to get where she wouldn't have so much pain in her knees and, you know, be in a scooter. And it really, you know, it wasn't only that. But they sort of, you know, they when you're not supported, you stop communicating, you don't understand each other anymore, you know, you sort of start to coexist in the same house. How many people can relate to that? And it's not only about, you know, the size preference that he had, but their relationship was very strained and, mm-hmm. you know, sort of continued to be throughout that process. And I think Dawn's frustration about not losing more weight and having such a hard time with the band added to their growing distance.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's like, you know, at least something should be, it seems like something should be working the way she's hoping it will, you know, either her relationship or her attempts at weight loss.
I know, you would hope, poor thing. And she's just, you know, she's really struggling. And I think that's what's so amazing about, I mean, she was able to just be so honest and put that out there the entire time about what a hard time she was having. And, you know, now she's still right about where she was, around 260 pounds. And, you know, she's okay with that. And she knows that if she wants to continue to drop more pounds, she's going to have to start, you know, doing what you have to do, whether it's water aerobics or yoga or this or that, and eating differently. And I think she's just not quite ready to do that. And I think that's, you know, that's her choice.
How much opportunity did you have, and there's not much of it in the film, but to see these women relating to people in their lives outside of this group of friends and outside of the couple that you, the few that you sort of profile their families. And I'm wondering, essentially, what kind of reception they got from others in their lives to either the state of their bodies or their attempts to lose weight.
I thought that, you know, I mean, they all have great friends, they all have families, you know, they all have, you know, normal lives. And, you know, deep thoughts and jobs and, you know, everything that we all have. And I think that was another sort of goal of mine in the film is to show that, because we just assume that, you know, we know something about someone. It's sort of like judging a book by its cover when we look at someone who's 400 pounds. But we actually have no idea, you know, what's going on in with them and in their lives. And I found them to be completely normal people.
Mm-hmm. Did you come to any conclusions about why this society is so judgmental of weight problems, and particularly, you know, obesity? Lots of people disapprove of smoking cigarettes and make that very clear, but there's not the same kind of vehemence. People don't make fun of smokers in the way that they sometimes feel free to make fun of people who have weight problems.
Absolutely. I think it's because people think it's about willpower, mm-hmm. and that how could you possibly want to be like that? And therefore, you must be lazy and, you know, there must be something wrong with you or you would change it. And that is, I think, the biggest you know, point is that it is not as simple as willpower. You know, if it was as simple as willpower, we'd all be thin by now. We wouldn't have, you know, 2/3 of the society overweight. It's really hard to be fat in this society that hates fat. Really hard. So, I think, and the hostility that's out there, especially the anonymous hostility on the internet, is just, you know, blows my mind. Mm. But anyway, I think that's it. And it's much more complicated. And it has to do with food addiction. I mean, I don't know how many people know, but, you know, a lot of food addiction starts when you're a child. And think about it. If, you know, food is the drug that children have access to. Right. And you can't go cold turkey.
Yeah,
you have to eat food to survive. So, it just really isn't so simple. And that was a really, you know, another main point that I'm trying to make is, you know, let's not be so judgmental because we don't understand. It's a lot more complicated.
We're speaking this hour with filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz. She directed the Independent Lens documentary All of Me, which airs next Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KERA Channel 13 television. If you'd like to join our conversation now, you can send email to think@kera.org. You can call 1-800-933-5372 or send me a tweet at Chris Boyd Think.
Funding for Think comes from the SMU Certificate Program in Financial Planning with classroom instruction, a CFP board-registered curriculum, and flexible class schedules. Applications accepted now for the program, which begins March 31st. smu.edu/CPFP.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz. She directed the Independent Lens documentary All of Me, which airs Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KERA Channel 13 television. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org. Alexandra, forgive me because this is not a subject that I would normally bring up, but it appears from photographs of you online that you are of normal weight. Am I correct about that?
Yes, okay. I am.
Well, I want to ask about what it took for you to make sure that your subjects trusted you with their story and didn't worry that you would somehow exploit them or humiliate them by following their stories.
Yeah, you know, it was really quite remarkable, and I don't know what it was exactly. I mean, I could, you know, pat myself on the back, I guess, but we just sort of bonded right from the beginning. And I think Dawn was who I met first. And she, I sort of told me her life story about, you know, being involved in this as this first plus size model, Bridget, and then the size acceptance movement and having the surgery and this group of friends. And we just had a conversation and bonded, and she introduced me to everybody else. And I think there was probably some trepidation, some nervousness about what this was going to be and how I was going to portray them. But it really was not that difficult somehow. I mean, we just sort of were there. I worked with a very small crew. We just hung out with them and observed what was going on and kept in touch. I mean, it's been 6 years now since we started, and we're still in touch all the time. I mean, we're close. We're connected. I guess at some point they just decided to trust me.
We have a tweet here from, it looks like it's from Jalen, who wants to know whether you would consider doing a sequel, a follow-up documentary.
Oh, my goodness. Of course I'd consider it. I need to take a long nap first. But but yeah, well, Jalen, she actually already had her own sequel. She was part of the this season on TLC's My 600-Pound Life. Mm. And she's since had the gastric bypass surgery and is doing great. So,
oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah, congratulations for her.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go on the phone now to Ray in Dallas. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hi, Ray. Go right ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been in the fitness business for about 25 years, and my main concern is that even with doctors, that nobody is really talking about percentage of body fat. The higher your percentage of body fat, the unhealthier you're actually going to be, and the more problems you're going to have as far as health-wise. And then the other thing with it is people just we're too sedentary nowadays. So that's kind of my comment is, you know, doctors need to be talking about with their patients more about the percentage of body fat and the health risks that come with that and stuff. And then, you know, push that insurance money towards dietitians, personal training, things like that.
Thanks for your call, Ray. Did you, having talked to these women, had they been kind of in dialogue with their doctors for a long time about their weight before even starting to consider surgery?
You know, not so much. I mean, that's another thing that I have to say I found was that supersize, you know, people often avoid the doctor. Mm-hmm. Rather than having a nice, close relationship with their doctor where they're trying to figure this out over time, I found that people did not go to the doctor. One of the women in the film never went to the doctor, and finally when she did, it was too late, and she had cancer, and she passed away. Mm. And, you know, that is, I think that there could be a lot of better education of doctors in medical schools. I mean, I can't tell you how many stories I heard about people who would go to the doctor for a sore throat and come out and, you know, be told they need to be put on a diet. And maybe they did need to be put on a diet, but they went in for the sore throat, you know, or the sprained wrist or whatever it was. But I think that doctors often are also very shaming of fat people. And I think that is why they stay away.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Next on the line, we have Kit in Dallas. Hi, Kit.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
Chris, thanks for your show. I love listening to it.
Thank you.
Thanks to your guests. This is a great topic. I have my I just set my DVR for the program on Monday night, so I'm looking forward to that.
Super. Great.
I had gastric bypass surgery in 2007, and I was at so men do it. I was at 350 pounds when I did it. I got down to about 195. I've gained probably 20 back over those 7 years, so it stayed pretty good. I would say for me, I think it's a great procedure, depending on the person, depending on what their needs are and where they're at in their life. For me, I would say if I had it to do over again, I would not do the surgery. My relationship with food is drastically changed. I was a cook and loved to eat and loved, you know, that's how I got in the position I was in. But since then, you know, I cannot digest sugars. I cannot digest carbohydrates. I've had to completely change the way I relate to food and my relationship with food, and that's been very, very difficult. Mm. So that's basically my comment is, you know, think through it before you do it and make sure it's the right decision for you and that you know, there are alternatives. There are diet, exercise, change of lifestyle. Those things are much slower, but they can produce the same result.
Kit,
thanks. I'll listen off the air.
Oh, wait, hang on one second. Did sure. you find any of your relationships change to people you'd been close to before, and did they look at you in new ways that were either positive or negative?
It's kind of hard to say. You know, I came from a place where, you know, when I was at 350 pounds, I was a happy guy. I wasn't, and maybe there's probably a big difference between being a man and a woman, but I did not feel discriminated against. I did not feel that people looked down on me or made fun of me. I was pretty happy. What triggered the decision for me is my wife got pregnant with our son. Mm-hmm. And I was 41 years old. I had a lot of associated health problems, sleep apnea, and, you know, high cholesterol, cholesterol, just the things that become associated with morbid obesity. And so that's what triggered the decision for me. But I wouldn't say that relationships have changed to much extent. No, not really.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate your call, Kit. Is there anything you want to comment on there, Alexandra?
I would just say that I totally agree with him in saying that, you know, it's not right for everyone and you should definitely know what you're getting into and that it's a tool. And like he's saying, you know, he could have probably lost that weight just, you know, by making those same changes, maybe without the surgery, maybe not. Maybe some people need the surgery to instigate, you know, this new journey. But it is a journey.
Did you get the sense that there really is a difference in the way society looks at very large women as compared with very large men?
I do. I did. I think that, and especially with men, I think that oftentimes, you know, this is obviously a total generalization, but men are very active, athletic when they're younger often, and then sometimes when they stop doing so much exercise, they put on a lot of weight. I think with women, it's a bit different in the sense of, you know, their relationship with food and why they have the relationship with food that they do. But I also think, of course, society is much more accepting of a 350-pound man than a 350-pound woman.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Tina in Dallas. Hi, Tina.
Hi. So glad you took my call. Mm-hmm. I had gastric bypass, Roux-en-Y, in 2001. Have lost 110 pounds, gained 30, lost it again. And there's several things I'd like to ask or talk about. And one is the support groups that the surgeons provide. To me, it seems more like it's not only support groups, but people considering the surgery is there as well. And it seems like a marketing device. Hmm. This is a very big money-making part of medicine nowadays. And it was more about this is how much has been lost, and this is your insurance, we're going to help that. And very full of marketing to get more patients.
Did you, I know this group of the girls that you were talking about was not that sort of support group. It was more like a casual friend group. But did you, Alexandra, have the experience of going to the kind of group that Tina's talking about?
I did. I went to several support groups. And I think, you know, I think there is, obviously, this is elective surgery, and there is a big marketing component to it. But the support groups I went to were for people who, well, there were a few who were considering it, I guess, who were coming to kind of listen. But they were led by a social worker or someone from the bariatric practice. And they were, you know, they would have a topic a month, and they would talk about it. But people did start off by saying, you know, when they were introducing themselves, you know, I'm so-and-so and I weighed this much and now I weigh this much. And, you know, there was a bit of a rah-rah element to it.
Let's talk next on the phone to Pat in Dallas. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. I had just a couple things. I only caught the talent from looking at to have seen the documentary last week. And although I've lost over 100 pounds, I look great, I feel great. I lost my husband and I lost my friends. They said I changed personality. I've always been the fun person and did everything and had a great time and hung out. And my friends would say, you know, you're a this and that. You know, when it was time for me to actually have the surgery and have the surgery, I had no support. No one was saying that, you know, this is going to be great for you, although they would be concerned, like, you need to work out, you need to, you know, watch what you eat. When it really came down to it, they wanted me to stay fat. They wanted me to stay exactly who I was, and I think that they were really afraid that I was going to become somebody else. I have been attractive, and I was always told that I was the, you know, pretty and cute fat girl. But I ended up losing everybody to this point, and now it's still even hard to find friends because I feel like maybe there's some competition or jealousy. I'm just really not sure. So I do spend my time wondering, should I have really even done this surgery because my life was good and I had a great time, I had friends or all that. But now I'm just kind of alone. I'm thin and healthy, but alone. So will you be, has anyone have any comments or anything in the documentary that I can kind of look to see?
Well, Pat, thanks for your call, and I'm so sorry that that's been the outcome of your experience. Did you want to comment on that, Alexandra?
Yeah, I mean, wow, you know, I've heard other stories like this, and I think that, you know, I'm sorry that she feels that way too, but gosh, if I had to give a recommendation, I guess it would be to try to go to one of these support groups until you find one that you like and see if you can meet some other people you like who maybe understand what you're going through. Because I think most of us can't understand it, you know, it really is. It's a experience most of us don't have. So I wish you the best with that.
What would you say has been the biggest takeaway for you personally after having followed these women for 6 years and really gotten to know their lives and their stories?
In a word, I would have to say compassion. Mm-hmm. I just have a much richer, more nuanced understanding of what it's actually like to be fat, to be in a socially unacceptable body in our society today, and what it's like to try to lose hundreds of pounds. So that's, and I want to say just quickly too, you know, we, as part of our interactive, website, we have a site called Fat Is, and we have a place where people can share their stories. Fat Is, Food Is, and My Body Is, and it's a wonderful place to go and just take a look at what other people are saying and add your own voice. It's incredibly moving and poignant.
And how do you think the rest of society could better support people who are dealing with extreme obesity, whether they are actively trying to lose weight or simply trying to be as healthy as they can be in the bodies they currently inhabit?
Well, I think that it would be great if there were some, you know, gyms that were maybe not, when you went in, you didn't feel like a total freak.
Mm-hmm.
There is an amazing yoga class in Austin, yoga teacher named Abby Lentz, who does heavyweight yoga, and she's trying to spread that around the country. I mean, you can do yoga in a chair in her class if you need to. She helps you get up and down off the floor if that's where you are, you know, really believes that yoga can be done in any kind of body. And I think there needs to be more of that for people, you know, more options for physical movement, even if it's limited.
Filmmaker Alexandra Lascaz directed the Independent Lens documentary All of Me. You can see it next Monday night, March 31st at 11 o'clock on KERA Channel 13 television. She joined us today from the studios of NPR in New York City. Alexandra, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you. It was really nice to speak to you.
Think is produced by Stephen Becker and engineered by Shelley Canavy. Lindsay Connect is assistant producer with help on the phones today from Katie Daniel. Our executive producer is Jeff Whittington. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.